Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. And you guys all woke up. We got four lines jam-packed of callers. So thank you for joining us on the show. And we do appreciate it. Let's get right to your calls. You've been nice enough to do that. So let's go to Karen in Burlington first. Morning, Karen.
Hi, good morning.
What's going on?
Okay, so I'm trying to uninstall Kaspersky.
And
it
good.
Won't let me. It tells me I don't have administrative rights to my own machine.
Ah, that stinks. So are you the only user or is there an admin?
No, I'm the only user. It's a personal laptop.
Okay, so we can try to find an uninstall program. However, you need to, are you running Windows 10?
No, I think it's Windows 8.
Windows 8, okay, similar. When you write, you should be able to right-click and run as administrator. That might give you the power you need to uninstall the software. Or we can try to get you an uninstaller program from, believe it or not, from Kaspersky.
I just didn't know if there was a trick. It starts, it goes so far, and then all of a sudden it says you don't have administrative rights to uninstall this, and then you click OK, and it does a rollback and just reinstalls everything.
Yeah, those Russians, man, they don't let
I'm
go.
Telling you.
They don't let go. We're going to put a link here for you. I know it sounds so tinfoil hat, but it does seem silly to me that we would run Russian antivirus on our computers, period. I have nothing against the Russian people, lovely people, no big deal, but it just seems odd to me. I always would joke about AVG in the Czech Republic. It just doesn't seem like we'd want to run software from the Czech Republic. What does the Czech Republic know about antivirus? I'm sure they're great writers about antivirus. What, I would prefer to get it, you know. American antivirus software. So in your case,
I agree, and I've actually already put OpenDNS and Microsoft Security Essentials on the machine. So
there you go. There you go.
I need to get rid of this because it's expired. So I did, you know.
Yes. Well, expired is good too. So we're gonna have we have a link here for you that Bob found how to remove Kaspersky Total Security, and we'll put a link up there for you that you can follow.
Great. Thank you.
You got it, Karen.
Bye.
Bye.
It's like Hotel California. Once you check in, you can never leave.
Exactly. So we'll put that there, right there for you. So we got a call from Lee in Ashford next. Hey, Lee, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, good.
Pretty good. Listen, you brought up the subject of HD radio.
I did.
So I wanted to know a little bit more about it. The only way I can listen to WTIC is through my HD receiver hooked up to my stereo system.
Nice. But if you have do you have HD radio in your car?
Yes, I do, but I turned it off because here's the next question. Mm. The signal keeps dropping out.
It does. It does occasionally. So it's a simulcast through 96.5 HD2. You've used that channel? Or have you used the 1080 one? Does 1080 has HD as well?
Oh, I didn't know 1080 has HD.
Both channels have HD radio. So you can go HD radio with 1080, or you can try the 96.5 HD2. Which one did you try?
I'm using the 96.5 in my home.
Yeah. But how about in your car?
I haven't turned it on in the car because I didn't realize I could use it on 96.5 in the car.
Check it out. And that's the beauty of FM now. So AM doesn't sound as, we all know this, doesn't sound as nice as FM.
Yeah.
But on the FM side there, it does. It sounds amazing. But it does occasionally drop out. Not sure what that's all about. I'm not an engineer when it comes to that, but it sounds amazing when it works. So
Here's the other question. Why is there a delay?
On the 96, it was a simulcast. So I think what happens is there's a delay on any news talk station so that there's no bad words that are spoken. And what I think happens is that delayed signal comes out to your HD side.
Well, no, it's a delay compared to the AM because
I think it's the same thing.
Upstairs and heard the AM radio on regular AM.
Yep.
It's like the FM 96.5 on the HD is like a half a minute behind.
I want to tell you it's probably 7 seconds.
No.
It's more
than that.
Yeah. I don't know. Again, I'm not the engineer, Lee, as far as why they're doing it, but they are doing it. They're simulcasting it. So I think they first have to have the actual broadcast, and then it's pumped out through some other system a little later.
If you listen to it on the AM side, and then you go and you switch over to internet radio and pick it up on the internet radio,
it'll be delayed,
It's going to be about 30 seconds behind, like just like he's saying.
They're probably all the same. They're probably all re-simulcasting from the same source, I guess.
What was the other question? They've been running these like commercials after August 1st. You're not going to be able to hear it anymore?
No, that's a little – they're basically saying you can't use other streaming tools other than radio.com.
Oh.
So they want you to get over to radio.com so that you know that after a certain time they're going to only be available on radio.com if you want to stream it.
Yeah. That's all. Well, yeah, on my phone I can listen to it on radio.com.
Yep.
Yep.
Sounds good.
Which is good. I don't know if you know the answer, but – after the big snowstorm we had in March where there was 150,000 people out of power,
yes.
Ever since then, I have not been able to pick up the AM signal in my kitchen radio. It's all static. Did something happen to their antenna or what?
No. I mean, this is a 50,000-watt flamethrower. I think something happened to your radio.
That's what I think maybe happened to my radio.
Yeah. Because it would be horrible if everybody in the whole area there couldn't hear the AM side. This station would have trouble, wouldn't it?
I mean, I grew up with WTAC AM.
Exactly. So it turns out it's your radio, Lee. I would pretty much bet my third kid on that.
Oh, okay.
What did he do?
Yeah. He's always up for being bet. So, all right, Lee?
Great. So thank you.
You got it.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This 50,000-watt flamethrower is always broadcasting. I mean, you can hear that up into Vermont. Let's move on to Bill in Windsor next. Morning, Bill.
Good morning. How are you today?
Doing fine. How are you?
Good. I want to comment on two things and a question on one.
Yeah.
And I've long since realized that advertisers do this target advertising and send you things as soon as you looked at something online.
Yep.
I concluded I probably can't do much stopping that.
Right.
But what I've done instead is that when I'm looking for something, I'll send out a barrage of things. I'll send out inquiries of how to grow tomatoes, bicycles, tires, garage door openers, sunscreens, you name it.
Okay.
And I figure if they're going to do this, I'm going to let them think I'm interested in everything so they don't have a clear idea of what I'm interested in.
All right, yeah.
I'm curious your comments on that.
I don't have enough time for that, but if you've got the time for that, I don't know that it does anything because eventually you're going to make the purchase. And I think the purchase is where you actually show your stripes. But if you've got the time, and who knows? I mean,
doesn't take long.
I'm going to search tomatoes and batteries and garage door openers.
No, I don't
really
search very long. I just send the inquiries out.
Yeah. I'm not sure that really would do anything, Bill, because frankly, I think they're smarter than that. But then again, maybe they're not. Who knows?
My problem is I get the info ads after I've already made the purchase.
It's so annoying. I know, it's so annoying. So
and the other comment I wanted to make was, with all the information or all the news about the Chinese stealing all our technology, why does somebody in Hartford think it's such a great idea to subsidize a Chinese company and locate them in Connecticut?
Yeah, again, we talked about that earlier. I think folks are looking into it. Not the fact that they're Chinese, but the fact that they don't make any money, and why we gave them $10 million to come here is beyond me either. I don't know why we give anybody money to come here. We shouldn't have to bribe them to come here. They should want to come here, right? The business climate should be so friendly that people are clamoring, because we're ranked super high when it comes to education and workforce. But the business climate is abysmal. So we have to bribe them to come here. So if they just fix the business climate, if you align the fact that we've got a lot of smart people working here with a good business climate, we wouldn't have to bribe them to do anything. They'd be wanting to come here, right? Because we're so smart and so capable as folks. So I don't understand why we keep bribing anybody to come here.
Well, it's so bad.
With my tax dollars.
We got a 19-year-old UConn student running for governor.
No, he's running for Senate, I think.
Senate, that's
I heard him. He sounded great. More power to him.
It's because kids are graduating from school and leaving the state because you can't make money here.
That was his point, yeah. So we'll see, Bill. But I don't think they should be paying anybody to come here.
I agree.
All right, Bill. Thanks. Yeah, picking winners and losers with our tax dollars bothers me every day because no one gave Tab anything. No one even cares if we stay in business or go away.
Well, they just keep taking my money. I just paid my car taxes, and it was enormous. And everybody that I talked to was, without me saying anything, all I overheard conversations was about they got their car taxes, and they can't believe how high it was.
Yeah, I know.
We don't own our cars and our homes anymore. We just pay rent to the
government. We're going to step out for a quick break. We got Glenn on the line. Three lines open for you. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And we're talking about, you know, our technology and how it's working for us and knows a lot about us. We'll be right back. This is arguably the best tune from the 1980s. And apropos to what we're talking about. So let's get back to more of your calls. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Three lines open for you, and we'll do our best to help you out with computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. A lot of concerns today about privacy. Just now, our senators are waking up to the fact that your smart TV could be tracking where you're going on TV, whether you're watching certain shows or maybe you actually use your smart TV to surf, which is god-awful painful. But it just possibly, who'd have thunk it, could be tracking where you're going, what you're watching. And these senators, Blumenthal and Markey, I think, want to find out if it's true. Hey, guys, it is. It is. It's true. Let's go to Glenn in New Britain. Hey, Glenn, what's up?
Hey, you know, I've been hearing about you guys switching. Well, the station is switching over to radio.com instead of TuneIn.
Yeah.
That's going to affect the Alexa users. Radio.com is not one of the services available through Alexa.
Really?
Yes.
So your smart microphone is not going to play radio.com for you. Oh, play radio.com. Interesting. We'll look that up.
No,
I didn't know that.
Apparently, it's not going to be smart enough to pick up you guys.
Oh, no. That's not good. We'll take a look at that. I would be sorry to hear that if that's the case.
I'm one of those geeks that. You know, I kind of like Alexa. It's so convenient to just say, hey, play WTIC, and there it goes.
I hear you, yeah. Do you call it a smart speaker, or do you call it a smart microphone like I do?
I don't call it smart anything. Actually, I would put a smart other word that you can't say on the radio.
Gotcha. But you like it. And well, I'm surprised, frankly, that it isn't supported, but we'll take a peek at that. But that's the whole issue again now. You know, Amazon's going to say, well, You want us to play radio.com and give us some money, right? It's probably what's going to happen.
That's probably what it is. So
yeah.
I just figured, you know, your listeners might want to be aware of it so they don't have to make the last-minute scramble to try and listen to your show.
I hear you, yeah. Well, there's always that old-fashioned thing called a radio.
Yeah. We've got one AM radio in the house, believe it or not.
Well, the other thing too, Glenn, maybe because I'm not an Alexa user, can you take your smartphone and play content from your smartphone to Alexa?
Yeah, with Bluetooth.
Okay. Do you have Bluetooth? You're rich if you have Bluetooth, I hear. You do?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you load the radio.com app on your smartphone, you can then do that through Alexa if you want to.
Yeah, well, that kind of just defeats the going out to play it, you know?
Oh, well, yes, right. That's the whole problem with smart technology. Like you said, it's not that smart.
Yeah.
But you can create a Rube Goldberg approach to connect to it. What do you got, Bob? You've been looking this up a little bit?
Well, if you can get iTunes, you can get radio.com.
Well, it's through iTunes, not through Alexa.
Not through Alexa.
Oh, okay. That's what we're trying to figure out, if that's true or not. But we'll check, Glenn.
Yeah, I just wanted to give your listeners a heads up because you guys are the best, man. I've been listening to you since you started, and
well, thanks.
Great show, guys.
We appreciate it, and thanks for giving us a heads up here. We'll see what we can do because I'm sure the station wants to make sure all those folks who are using Alexa can still stream us.
There you go.
Thanks, Glenn.
Hey, have a good night, guys.
You too. All right, so that'd be bad. I mean, that's the thing about smart technology. You know, which ecosphere are you going to buy into? You know, Glenn bought into Alexa. Bob might have Google. You might have Apple. But, you know, the idea is so that you should be able to access this technology ubiquitously. And you can't when you have certain ecospheres that are fighting for each other and fighting for your access. Whereas in the old days, you just turned on the radio, which worked no matter where you are. Now you need an internet connection, a high-speed modem, a firewall, a smart microphone or slash speaker just to get radio. It's like a Rube Goldberg approach to getting radio. Are we improving things? I don't know that we are. The radio always worked. It still does work. It's a broadcast. It just works. But if you don't, you know, then you worry about bandwidth. I mean, I got Cox telling me, hey, buddy, you're going to get charged for using more terabytes because my kids are home from school, right? So they think the internet's free and they stream everything. They're falling asleep streaming the office all day long. And Cox is saying, well, we're going to start charging you for your bandwidth. Your data usage. It's really not your bandwidth that's the problem these days anymore. You really can solve everything with 50 megabits of bandwidth. The issue is they're going to charge you per megabit, and just like your water company charges you per gallon. And that's where your cost is really going to come in. So they're warning us, you know, hey, you're going to be hitting you. So now imagine paying for something that you could get so many years ago for free with internet, firewalls, security, computers, smart microphones, just to get radio. Are we improving anything? I don't know. Let's go to Jim in Danbury. Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
I'm from Danbury, and I consider myself a little bit of a geek.
All right.
A geek wannabe.
Yeah.
My strong points are more hardware than software.
Okay.
But I've got a comment and a question.
All right, go for it.
I wanted to get some props to Bing for conservatives.
Props to what?
Props to Bing, the search.
Oh, the search engine Bing?
Correct. Microsoft,
oh.
Yeah. I know everybody, we love to talk badly about Microsoft. But
no, we just talk about what's happening with Microsoft, not necessarily badly, but go ahead.
That's true. Well, negatively, right.
Yeah.
No, because as a conservative,
yeah.
I went to freedomwatch.org.
All right.
And in Google,
yeah,
and they had a get involved link.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to it, I got a message, not available, page not available.
Mm.
Then I went to Bing,
yeah,
the same thing, and the page came back up, right up.
Interesting.
So I'm assuming that they're doing more
filtering.
Well, yes, filtering, yeah, than Bing is. So I just want to say that.
Well, you're probably right. We're going to find this across all these social networks and all these tools now. But now we have to worry about censorship by these companies, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, Google.
Absolutely. I know YouTube is really bad,
mm-hmm,
and the Facebook is bad also.
Then, yeah.
And the other thing before I forget,
yeah,
you guys ever thought of going on community TV? Because I love your show.
Thanks. We have faces for radio.
Okay.
But thanks.
Well, all righty. The question is, my girlfriend has Windows 8.
All right.
And within the last month or so, we've been getting this USB device not recognized that comes up every 10 seconds, every minute, sometimes once an hour, but it's just there.
What's connected to the computer?
There's nothing really except the mouse and the keyboard and the printer. And this started about a month ago. Before that, it was fine.
Yep.
I've gone in and I've in Device Manager and I've uninstalled the question mark there pertaining to the USB device, and then it goes away, and then when I start, the computer comes back in again.
Okay. So if you can hang on a little bit through the break, Jim, we'll take a look at it. It could be could be a power management issue, or any one of those USB devices could be causing it. So, and Bob has some ideas too.
Okay.
So if you can hang on for a sec.
Will do.
All right, we're going to keep Jim on hold out there in Danbury, and three lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Yeah, feel free to get online. We'll do our best to help you out. Everything we've talked about is posted over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com, the name of the show.com, which also works, and, of course, on Facebook. If Mark Zuckerberg deems it worthy, that's why I say those lines, it'll get into your news feed. If he doesn't deem it worthy because, you know, he just doesn't want you to know what's going on, he won't let it go into your news feed. Who knows how it gets into your news feed? I don't know. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. And we're going to go right back to Jim You still there, Jim?
I'm still here.
All right. So you have an issue with your USB not being recognized, and Bob did a little bit of research here, so we have some ideas for you as far as what you can do to correct that. What do you got, Bob?
Well, I find that sometimes, for unknown reasons, a particular USB device might not interact well. I don't know whether it's a corrupt driver somewhere, how it's pointing to the specific USB port.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also found that if you uninstall it and then plug it into a different USB port, it'll recognize it and it'll come back. So sometimes just rearranging the cables will fix it.
Also, power management could be involved. You could turn off, go to power management, and tell it to uncheck how it manages the USB ports. Because it's just Windows 8, again, driver-related, could have confused it. I assume this is an upgraded machine to Windows 8?
No.
Oh, jeez.
No. It was new, a new install.
All right, so they should know everything about that computer. Now, this is, you talk about, I'm not sure if you're the one that said we're always giving Microsoft a hard time, but this is why.
I know. Well, I agree. There's only one other thing that I think might be a possibility, but I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
A few months ago, I got Kobe in backup 11, and I put it on a thumb drive, and I downloaded. Mm-hmm. And then every time we turn on, and I don't keep it in the computer. I unplug it.
Yeah.
And then when we turn on the computer, we do get a message when it starts. Welcome to Kobe and backup 11. Do you want to whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And then that goes away instantly. So I don't know if that could be related, but it started,
after that.
A couple of months.
Oh, then it wouldn't be related. It's not related.
Okay.
It's either what Bob said, some sort of driver update. Because every time Microsoft updates the system, I mean, everything was fine, right? Yeah. And then Microsoft updates the software.
I know.
And things break. And this is why we're so.
I know.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so is also on your search engine thing, there's other search engines besides Bing. Believe it or not, when Bing first came out, they were caught using Google's search engine to deliver the results.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Which was kind of embarrassing for Microsoft when they were caught doing it. Now, yes, that's great that they are not doing that. There's other ones you can check as well. I think DuckDuckGo or something like that. There's other search engines. But remember, you're dealing with corporations who really have no reason to offer you an unbiased search, right?
Yeah.
They can give you whatever they want. There's companies that are suing Google for the fact that they paid for certain types of words. And let's say you want to get your girlfriend flowers, right?
Uh-huh.
So flowers.com has some sort of word that you go to, but then all of a sudden edible arrangements comes up as well. Now, Flowers is saying, hey, I paid for that type of search word, and why are you showing a competitor that instead of just sending my girlfriend flowers, sends them edible arrangements?
Yeah.
And vice versa. I think actually Edible is suing for the other reasons, because their stuff is being shown with other competitors. So they're a corporation. There's actually no rule that says they can't be biased and only show you what they want to show you.
I guess we have an expectation of privacy, but it's that's exactly what it is.
Or you have an expectation of all being shown to you.
Yes.
And that's unfortunately unrealistic.
Yes.
They're a multi-billion-dollar company that has no real reason to do anything.
Yeah.
They actually removed the "will not be evil" phrase from their company slogan.
Okay, so just to follow up now, if I do this if I unplug, I did it to I think the keyboard and it didn't make a difference, but I'll do it with all the other two devices also.
Yeah.
If that doesn't work, do you have any?
Well, look at the power management. Make sure you turn on, and then you can go to the device manager itself and clear the USBs completely, delete them, and reboot the machine, and hopefully it'll reload the driver for you.
I also have, there's a number of methods on a link that we're going to post.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different, 6 different methods.
Okay.
7
8,
different.
9.
8.
So there's, 9 things you can try.
Great. All right. Well, I appreciate it, guys, and hopefully it'll help. Thanks a lot.
You got it, Jim.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Actually, that's one of the biggest issues in our industry again. So, we work on a lot of client machines, right? And, how many hours should you spend on this issue, right? And how many things do you got to try? The client assumes, you just do one thing and fix it. It's not like a leaky pipe, for crying out loud. There's 9 potential solutions to this problem within this operating system.
Well,
and it's different in the next operating system and the next component you've got connected to it. It's always different.
Remember when they first came out with plug and play?
Yes.
We used to call it plug and pray.
We still do.
Well, plug and pray is back.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So we have four lines open for you guys. We're here at 11 o'clock. Dr. Alessi's in. He's in the green room getting ready for Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. Have you ever had this issue, though, when you're out there buying things online? The example I was giving you earlier in the show is my wife and his sister-in-law were trying to buy plane tickets, right? And they've already been burned once where the plane ticket prices were different when they both hit enter. This last time, they're purchasing plane tickets 6 months in advance. 6 months. They just came available 6 months in advance. They're both online figuring out which planes they want to take and which flights we want to take. 6 months in advance, they're both going to press enter. And they both do. And both of them somehow screwed up something in the information that they're putting in there to make the purchase, whether someone's got an email address wrong or a zip code wrong. They both screwed something up. So they both frantically go to fix it. My wife pushes enter, gets the plane tickets. Sister-in-law pushes enter, does not get the plane tickets. It's already full. I don't believe it. I don't believe that that plane filled up. I think I call, you know, BS. That plane did not fill up the second my sister-in-law decides to press enter. And they had to now take different flights. They had to take a flight that was not direct and has to have a stopover. Literally, maybe seconds difference from when they both pressed enter on a flight that just became available. And I bet you if we look in a few months, there'll still be seats available on the flight that my wife got and my sister-in-law did not get. And this whole thing about buying things online, I think we're all getting kind of screwed when it comes to how this stuff is supposed to work. And they're just saying, well, you know what? We got to fill this flight over here, so we're going to stick her over here. They don't know that we're buying them together. We're going to stick those guys over there and stick these guys over here. And everyone's happy. No, nobody's happy.
Well, the plane's full.
That's what they say, Bob. We're going to be here
to
11.
They wouldn't lie.
No, of course not. We're going to be here to 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Four lines open for you on this lovely Saturday morning. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Dr. Alessi's in. He'll be ready to help you out with your second opinion on your health advice, so stick around for that. Four lines open for you. Feel free to get online, and we'll do our best to help you out until 11 o'clock. But while we wait for your calls, we got some news here for you.
Yeah, the question is, how smart should a home be?
Good question.
This guy, Jim McGregor,
yeah.
And this is a CNET article.
Yeah.
He is building a new home, and he's making a smart home.
Okay.
But he's kind of trying to figure out what the pluses and minuses are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So with wireless connectivity, there's so many manufacturers out there, and they have so many different standards
right.
that they're not all compatible, and they don't all work together.
Right.
And the other thing is that most of these companies are coming through with where they have their console to manage them is in the cloud.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have your home. He's putting in a generator and he's putting in surge suppressor
right.
and he wants to make smart switches and, you know, security cameras and smart refrigerator, smart
microwave,
smart toaster, smart coffee maker.
Really?
All of these smart, all these lights. Well, you know, these smart switches,
yeah.
they cost a lot more because a standard switch you can replace for a buck.
Yes.
You know, and all
and you just yell at the kid to turn a light off upstairs rather than sitting down in your app and turning
it off. Or you might actually get up and walk up and down the steps
and
get
a few
steps in. Your Fitbit would like that.
Yeah. Close a refrigerator door.
So, and in going through all this, then you start to talk about the privacy and the security concerns.
Right.
Well, how private? And we've been talking a lot about privacy.
Mm-hmm.
And secure is your data when it's up on the cloud.
Well, we already know it's not. Yeah.
Now, how smart are these smart devices when you lose power?
Right.
And the internet goes down.
Right.
And now you can't turn your heat up or down. Your water heater goes off.
Well, you've got no power anyways.
Your smart toaster doesn't toast. Your smart coffee maker doesn't make smart coffee.
This is when the internet's down, yeah.
When the internet's good. So,
well,
he likes the idea, which we are always promoting. You should be able to have these consoles under your own control.
Otherwise known as on-premise.
On-premise. Have your own private cloud.
Not even cloud. It's on-premise. It's local to your device, to your system. You don't need to communicate with the internet. You don't even have Al Gore know what's going on with your smart toaster.
If you lose power,
yeah.
you have battery backup.
Yeah, but now your internet's down.
Well, and if you lose the internet, you have the ability to override the console and do it manually.
Do it locally, right. So,
and not all these devices do. So it's a pretty good article.
Yeah.
And it's certainly worth a review.
I would love it
that
way.
Better.
Yeah.
But the biggest problem is all of these manufacturers, they don't play well together.
Correct.
So,
and that's just enough. How many apps do you need to pop your popcorn? I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, the popcorn button on my microwave really doesn't work that well. I got to put the time in myself. You should have it on premise so you can configure your systems on premise with a computer locally. You shouldn't have to have it talk back to the mothership. Now, if we find, this is something that I would love to find someday. It'll probably be way beyond my my need for it, but we're really bad at shopping for food. I mean, it's amazing I actually am sitting here because we are really bad at shopping for food. I don't know what it is, but my wife and I don't do a very good job of that. And so knowing when you're out of this or out of that, or having the ability to actually put the things in the refrigerator that you want that would actually have an RFID that would tell you, hey, you've got 1 gallon of milk in there. You need to make sure you got your three boys home. They're going to suck it down in like half an hour. You need to get more milk. That kind of stuff would be neat, you know, if it told me and we had a list that was like, you know, you always buy this type of sausage. It's gone. You know, your milk's running out. I can see that. It'd be neat to have your refrigerator talk to you and then talk to an app on your phone so that you would then go to the store and say, oh, okay. Because my wife and I go to the store without a list. It's a huge mistake. We know that. We're just bad
at
it.
And don't go shopping when
you're hungry.
When you're hungry.
Oh, we're always hungry. we're kind of in trouble both ways there. But the thing is, it'd be neat to actually have something smart enough to say, hey, Eric, your kids are sucking down the milk. You need to get some more milk.
You know, it would be even neater.
Yeah.
But this gets into the privacy thing, is if it could inventory what you had.
Right, right.
Know what
with
you
RFID.
Know what you use.
Yeah, yeah.
And then what sites have it on sale?
Well, they
would. What stores have it on sale?
That'd be even better. I mean, then, yeah, that'd be even smarter. Or just have Peapod deliver it. You know, the Peapod can then connect into your app and say, hey, I'm going to deliver some food for you. You're out of milk. That kind of stuff I can see as beneficial. However, imagine the technology that'll be required. You think you pay a lot for your appliance repairman now? Wait till he's got to change the computer out of your refrigerator or change the Wi-Fi interface.
Or actually,
we'll be doing
can
it.
Actually find one 2 years later.
Right. They become obsolete. All of a sudden, that expensive refrigerator that's smart enough to tell you how much milk you got left is worth nothing. It's going to be an interesting future.
Well, as long as the display is like shiny black and, you know, it doesn't look really ugly when it's not in use.
All right, let's go to Paul. He's got a comment on smart homes. Hey, Paul, have you got a smart home?
Hell no. Good morning. The reason my call is, I may be dating myself, but about 30 years ago, there was a show on cable called Almost Home, hosted by Bob Vila.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay, and he just kept looking for different things to do, and he decided to design a smart home.
All right.
This home is so smart, there were no keys to get in it.
Oh, yeah.
You entered the code.
Right.
Off of either, at the time, one of the first-generation smartphones, or it actually had a remote. Anyhow.
Yeah.
Long story short, I watched the whole house being built, but we never saw the reveal, and I couldn't figure out why.
Yeah.
Well, several months go by, and we find out why. He shows up with the crew to film the reveal and the whole bit. They cannot get into the house.
They had to break a window?
I honestly don't know how they did it. But it gets worse from there.
Yeah.
This is first generation, you know, climate control and the whole bit.
Yeah.
Well, part of the house had the air conditioning running in the middle of winter.
Oh.
The other part had the heat trying to, you know, sauna room temperature.
Yeah.
Long story short, first generation technology did not work very well for Mr. Vila.
Yeah.
30 years on, we still have some of these very same issues.
Oh, yeah.
Coupled with the hacking deal. In my job, I see all sorts of houses. I was in a smart home.
Yep.
And this guy absolutely loved it.
Yep.
And he's talking about how I can be at work and blah, 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 and I'm on vacation. I said, so what happens if I hack your system?
Right.
He looked at me and he goes, that can't be done. And I said, they hacked the Pentagon.
Exactly.
Trust me. If somebody really wants to hack your house for whatever reason,
right,
kick to get anyone, I said, they will.
Yeah.
And the guy just stopped dead in his tracks. And he goes, I'm going to have to get a hold of, you know, the guys who put the system in and see what kind of, you know, software protection we have and encryption and all. But yeah.
Well, the other issue is, Paul, the guys that put the systems in left the password as admin with the password a blank. So a lot of these installers don't think about security. They just think about connectivity. So that the thing works, but they really don't think about setting up VPN technology or proper security so that they just move on to the next installation. So a lot of times everything's default. So if I knew what kind of software or system that guy was running, I probably could try to get in that way just by using the default passwords. That's usually what happens.
So if you bought a smart home,
yeah,
would they give you a list of all the passwords and all the devices that have passwords on them?
Right. It gets complicated. So you're right, Paul. This technology has got a little ways to go.
Let's drop this down to something that everybody can relate to. Everybody in the audience that has an electric garage door opener, raise your hand.
Right.
Everybody that has an electric garage door opener where you change the password code on that door opener, put your hand down.
Exactly.
Wow. And I mean, you can.
They're all default.
If you have a universal controller at any electronic store, and I pull up to your house and you've got an electric garage door, and I punch in the same four digits.
Right, a lot of them could be open.
Garage door.
I know that's still an issue. It's better now, but it's still an issue.
Door, I'm in your house.
Right, I hear you. All right, Paul.
Have a good day, guys.
Thanks.
Hey, by the way,
yeah?
I love the show. I don't always call in.
Okay.
But I just love the knowledge I gain from it.
We're happy to have you, Paul.
Have a good day.
Thanks. All right. Bye-bye. What were you going to say, Bob?
I wanted to say that the one that I have, it has some sort of a
scrambling
algorithm,
yeah,
that scrambles the password each time it's used.
Yeah, that's a good thing. It does help improve that security. Let's go on to Ted in Barkhamsted next. Hey, Ted, what's up?
I was listening what that fellow called in and said that he couldn't get WTIC radio through Alexa.
Yeah, the radio.com app, I guess, doesn't work through Alexa.
Okay.
That's what they're going to be going to.
I was listening to it. I get it, and I guess I use something Tune.
Yeah, that's going to change.
The app, that's going to change?
Yeah, I think you're going to have to get it through radio.com, which right now doesn't work through Alexa. So do you do that through a phone at all? Do you have a smartphone?
I have a smartphone, but I don't do it through the smartphone. I do it through my Fire tablet.
Okay, so on that you could
While you were talking and talking about Alexa, Fire tablet was firing up.
See, that's a whole other issue, right? I mean, Alexa should be smart enough to know Ted from Barkhamsted rather than Eric from Computer Talk.
Exactly.
I mean, it should be more secure, so I shouldn't be able to tell it to order a bunch of milk on you right now and say, "Yeah, order some milk for Ted." And
oh no, don't do that.
Order 1,000 pounds of dishwashing detergent for Ted. So we'll see what happens with radio.com and your Alexa, but hopefully it'll
But
work.
It is great. It's HD and it good quality sound.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Do you think of Alexa as a smart speaker or do you think of it as a smart microphone like I do?
I'm not sure. I know. I just use it to tell it to do things.
Okay, because you don't think of it as anything other than Alexa to you. It's neither a speaker nor a microphone, huh?
Right.
Gotcha.
Right.
Cool. Well, thanks for the update, Ted.
Okay. Nice show.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Bye bye. Smart homes. It's really an interesting problem. If your internet's down, you can't toast your toast. You can't get your popcorn. You can't open your garage door. You can't mess with your lights. I don't know. I'm not there yet with a smart home. I just yell up and tell the kids to turn the light off. Or, my thermostat basically runs on 2 AA batteries, and it's a little basic setback, and I set it, and then I go to work. And the kids, again, they're home from school from UConn. They're working, but they're home sometimes. And no matter where I set it, they set it back to manual and put their air conditioning where they want it. Smart home or not, right? So if I had one of those Google devices, it would call me and say, "Hey, Eric, your kids are cranking the AC again." Well, that's great, but I can't get the Google device to work. AC systems. My AC system, I guess, is a little too complicated for Google to work. So I can't win. I'll just deal with changing the batteries every 4 or 5 months on my silly setback thermostat. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. Stick around. Dr. Alessi's up next. Thanks, Matt, for producing. Thanks, Mike, for posting everything live. It'll be up there for you at ComputerTalkWithTab.com, the name of the show.com, or over at Facebook. If Mark Zuckerberg deems it worthy and you like us at Tab Computer Systems, it might get into your newsfeed.
See you next week.
The 1 month.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.